Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anthony's first ballot, not Eli Manning.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a tie for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop Slates? Happy New Year to you, my man. You probably were in were you in Sacramento last night covering the Kings and the Sixers? Oh, wait, we got to pot him up. Where's Slates?
Oh, no, Slates.
What's up?
Oh, he's there back. He was in the quarantine zone for a second.
We didn't hear a thing there. Maybe it was on our end. Were you in Sac last night covering the Kings and Sixers?
Yep, I was at the game.
So we get the Sixers tonight at Chase Center. So we'll get your thoughts on them and the new look Kings with Doug Christie. They end the game on a 15-0 run. Very riveting stuff at the Golden 1 Center. But let's talk some Warriors here as they drop to 16-16 on Monday night. And again, Happy New Year to you. Where are the Warriors at right now, other than being 16-16 and 8-8 at home? The trade deadline's coming up February 6th. Do you believe, as you take a lens to the Golden State Warriors, and you're looking at this roster after they start 12-3, what is on the table? Is anything on the table in terms of trades, roster movement? What's your take on the Warriors right now, Slates?
Yeah, I mean, certainly stuff's on the table. I mean, it's going to, you know, this will be a hot topic of conversation mid-January into early February, you know, deadline time. But clearly they're searching. The fact that they even made the Schroeder trade morning one when trades were eligible should indicate something to you there. And I think what they do over the next few weeks is probably going to dictate, you know, how aggressive or non-aggressive the front office is when it comes down to it.
Anthony, we're talking about like New Year's resolutions, right? Like it's just the time of the year. It's just what can some of these Bay Area franchises do right now? The word we kept coming back to with the Golden State Warriors is identity. You know, I would like for them to, you know, solidify like who are they as a team? And how would you answer that? If someone asked you right now, Anthony, to describe the Golden State Warriors, like who are they?
What Steph called them average the other day.
Mid.
Both words. Yeah, I mean, they honestly haven't been average in the last few weeks. They've been well below average. I mean, their offense is basically like, you know, Wizards Hornets level. I do believe that they are, you know, play in, you know, maybe with the right move, with kind of, you know, an improving rotation, just better shooting percentages from guys historically who can, that they could maybe bump up towards six seed type, which is to me is the goal, right? You know, get in the playoffs firmly in the playoffs. But I don't think they're there right now. Who are they? They're a fading giant that, you know, is in year four of like a kind of a slow fade, while also obviously trying to build up this younger core below them. And they're struggling a little bit to do that. So, I mean, we kind of all know who they are because they've kind of been this for a while now.
Right. Warriors Insider here Warriors Insider for The Athletic. Also part of the Odyssey family, Anthony Slater on 95.7 The Game Insider on all things Warriors and all things NBA. All right, so let's get to Schroeder first, and then we'll get to JK, TJD, and some of the youngsters and what may happen over the next 5 weeks. Schroeder, so far, the fit hasn't looked great, right? He comes from a high usage situation in Brooklyn. He's got the ball in his hands. It sticks. That's his game. He hasn't played in this system under Steve Kerr before, and he's struggling to start. He had the big three against Phoenix with a 123 left in the game Saturday night, but overall, the returns haven't been that great. What's your take on Dennis Schroeder in the addition here with the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, he's making 29% of his shots through seven games, which is, I mean, that's one of the worst, like, subsections, you know, small samples of his career. Like, we know that is going to correct just because historically, what is he, year 12 now? Like, he's, you know, he's not, nobody's that poor a shooter, especially like a higher volume type shooter. So he'll make more threes, he'll make more shots. And that will, you know, just generally make him look better. I've been impressed with him defensively. I do think he's kind of as advertised as a pest on that end. Clearly, they're pretty committed to, you know, making him one of their like real core. I would say the core six members of the rotation, which is the starting lineup now, which is Steph, you know, Schroeder, Wiggins, TJD, and Draymond, and then Kuminga high usage off the bench. Like they seem really committed to that six, and that puts a lot of pressure on Schroeder to improve because they. got him to basically fill in for what Melton was supposed to be and was for six games when they looked so great early in the season. He's a different type of player. But, you know, they need him to score relatively efficiently, shoot the three much better, and you know, kind of organize and basically, you know, remember how well the Nets were playing in, you know, his short time there? A lot of that was due to him leading kind of a ragtag group. They almost kind of need him to do that when Steph's off the floor, you know, figure out a way to turn that lineup into a decent, efficient lineup with some pick and rolls with TJD, with Kuminga. And he hasn't done that yet, but honestly, I just think if 29% from the field becomes, you know, 45%, which is pretty typical of Schroeder, if whatever he is from three right now, like 20% becomes 38% or 35%, he was shooting 38 in Brooklyn, he looks like a lot better player.
Speaking of Schroeder's struggles, another guy's been struggling mightily is Buddy Hield. I mean, for as good as it was, Anthony, at the start of the season, they were 12-3. It was the Splash Buddies. It was everything is all good. It's been just as awful with these last 15 plus games with the Buddy Hield experience. Just his shot's just not there. And I guess if he's a streaky player, that's fine. You're hoping the streak comes back around the positive end coming up here. Is there a possibility that he could be on the trading block for the Golden State Warriors here?
Yeah, sure. I'd almost say everybody besides Steph. Oh. And, you know, Draymond is very unlikely. I would put him, you know, single him out as number two. But, you know, salary matching stuff matters here. And, you know, all the guys that signed this summer are trade eligible. I mean, you saw them shift the Melton deal already. Schroeder can't be moved or at least aggregated in a move until right before the deadline. But, you know, I think everyone's kind of on the block in a sense, especially with how tight money is and how they have to like be pretty creative and how they build up these deals, depending on who they potentially go get. You know, if we're talking like a Vucevic, a Kyle Kuzma, a Cam Johnson, like you gotta kind of creatively get up to almost an exact number. And they one of the things they do have is kind of like financial flexibility in that sense of all these guys on middle level deals. And Buddy Hield's one of them. It's certainly a tradable contract. So yeah, they're going to be searching for answers and they're not just going to tie themselves to the idea that they kind of like this signing at, like, you know, a decent price this summer.
You know, Anthony, and we're talking to Anthony Slater here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 Game. We do so every single week on the show. Slates, obviously, Steph is dealing with the bilateral knee tendonitis, and at times he doesn't look great. At times he does. Cleveland is just, they're one of the best teams in the NBA, if not the best team. That looks like a championship roster right now. We'll see about them in the Eastern Conference. But Draymond Green, where is he at health-wise, physically? I know he had to close Saturday night after the win against Phoenix where he doesn't, you know, he's not a big fan of playing the five, but he'll do so in order to win games. But how effective is that to play him at the five for more than, say, 5 minutes at a time or more than 10 minutes at a time? Because it does feel like it will wear him down at some point this season.
I mean, it depends on the opponent, right? I mean, you mentioned that Phoenix game where he played a lot of five and Kuminga was great. He was Mason Plumlee and nobody else
right.
were the fives. You know, he was guarding KD late and you could be creative with the matchups, but you know, if they're playing Denver, I don't know how much five you do want him to play. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis is playing really well. Looney's always kind of in Steve Kerr's back pocket as far as Draymond's health goes. I mean, it's clear he's banged up. He's on the injury report again tonight with a lower back contusion. Expect him to play. I believe he's probable, but it's just, you know, it feels like he's on the injury report like two times a week with something minor. You know, he's had the calf thing. Clearly he's, you know, physically at a stage of his career that, you know, not even just, it's not like, oh, it's just because he's playing center, he's, you know, getting beat up. It's just because he's playing an 82-game marathon, and, you know, he's an undersized big in general, even when he's playing the four, and he's kind of has to guide his body through this. And typically, historically, he's been really good about managing it all the way up until playoffs and being able to kind of put the full throttle on. But as we've learned as consumers over the last, you know, few seasons, like, the Warriors can try to manage their vets like Steph, like Draymond during the regular season, but if they don't put the pedal down enough in the regular season, sometimes you get to the playoffs and you're not in the playoffs. So it's kind of what they're dealing with. But the thing, you know, they got to maximize the amount of time they can play Draymond at center and figure out the right matchups for that, or, you know, rest Draymond maybe a little bit, because it's clear they got to get coming on the floor. They've realized that. They seem again to be recommitting to that right now, where they're getting him at least around 30 minutes. And it's just their best lineups is when coming is on the floor, and typically Draymond's at the five.
His shot. I want Draymond to stay aggressive offensively. I think the Warriors are at their best when he is aggressive offensively, but the shot has evaded him. What are you seeing with his offensive game lately in the month of December, Anthony.
Yeah. I think he's like 9-34 during this little recent slide. He's not shooting the three. Well, I don't know what he's down to from three, but remember, he was really hot early in the season. And that was part of their winning streak. It was like, you know, you mentioned it, Buddy Hield was scoring like 20 a night in like 22 minutes, and Draymond was hitting threes at like 43%. And, you know, I feel fine. Like, you know, he is who he kind of is offensively. I don't think he's looking hesitant. I just think he's not hitting it as much. Defenses are going to do what they're going to do with him, but you got to kind of just believe he is. That's who he is at this stage. You just hope he hits a couple threes because you know teams are going to give it to him.
Speaking of injuries and statuses, Stephen Curry dealing with the right thumb sprain. Do you expect him to play tonight, Anthony?
Yeah, I do. You know, but it's, again, it's another older player dealing with the bumps and bruises of the season. I mean, it's always possible he doesn't play tonight, but he's clearly going through some stuff physically. He's not shooting the ball that well.
Kuminga, you brought him up, and some of the youngsters, TJD's had a really good stretch since he's been reinserted back to the starting lineup in the last six games. He's averaging nearly, I think he's averaging a double-double, especially coming off that game against Cleveland where he had 16-16. But Jonathan Kuminga, you know, it's a big, big 4 weeks for him, the organization, Mike Dunleavy, Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr. When it comes to JK, now you mentioned it, they've recommitted themselves to maximizing JK. Where do you think JK's at in terms of the pecking order, in terms of his play, his long-term future to go to say Warriors? Where is JK at mentally?
I think he's, I mean, if he's getting 30 minutes, good. You know what I mean? Like, if he's getting what, like, you know, the runway to try to prove himself in year four, by the way, I think he's comfortable. And this is, you know, he just wants like a heavy usage. Like, he feels like he's ready for that type of role in the league, and they're giving it to him currently. So, I mean, that would make him happy because he needs to not only financially, you know, set himself up here, but I just think he's like, he's really, he loves the sport and he wants to blossom, and he thinks he's ready for that. And I think right now, at this current moment, it seems like he's been given the stage for that. The one thing I have really liked from him lately, like, he's getting to the line so much right now. What, 14 the other night? Yep. I think if you look over the last four or five games, it's like nearly double digits every game. You know, the efficiency kind of waxes and wanes, but I do think he's more committed right now to a healthier shot diet, right? Since Steve Kerr criticized him after the Minnesota game, where I think some of that Minnesota game was just, he wasn't that into the game because he had just been, you know, yanked from the starting lineup again, and it seemed like he was going to be playing 20 minutes, and he just kind of came out and was shooting the mid-rangers. I think Steve really got on him, and, you know, he since then it's been downhill, slashing, getting to the rim, getting to the line, and, you know, that's an effective player. And if you kind of diagnose this little patch of the season right now, what's going right, what's going wrong for the Warriors, I think Kuminga's in the what's going right category. I mean, I know the other night he didn't shoot it that well, but nobody on the team did. He was at least trying to, you know, he was manufacturing points by getting to the rim, getting to the line. So I like how he's playing. And I think, I mean, I think we all agree, like, at this point, they got to figure out who he is. And that means like 30 something minutes a night.
Yeah. 9, 8, 14, 12, and 14 are the free throw attempts over the last five games for Jonathan Kuminga. I'm with you. When he's diving downhill, not taking the shot, the three-point shot, when it first serves him, when he first gets the ball and he's got that three-point shot and he's passing it first, I think JK's playing at a high, high level right now. But what is a league? From when you're talking to your insiders around the league and you're talking to your buddies, how does the league view Jonathan Kuminga? Because we view him here differently. A lot of people here in the Bay Area believe he could be the guy who could carry the franchise once Steph retires. Some people think that you need to trade him and maximize Stephen Curry. What do league insiders, how do they view Jonathan Kuminga right now, Anthony?
I mean, it's all over the map, and it feels like it changes on like a weekly basis, right? And there, I would say unknown still, which is like year four, like entering like a very interested restricted free agency. That's like still kind of a problem entering like a trade season where his name's going to be, you know, kind of bounced around. But it's like, you know, remember he enters the starting lineup with no Steph, no Draymond in L.A. Actually, he didn't even enter the starting lineup, but he played like 34 minutes off the bench and had 34 points. And I had a few scouts on the way out the door like, oh, that was interesting. You know, it's kind of seeing him, you know, going at Zubac late and kind of being featured. And then he did it again the next night where they were really getting him downhill, attacking bigs. And you know, like that type of stuff at least makes people who are, you know, there's always teams and people in the league searching for a guy who could really pop if given the right opportunity. And while I think there's skepticism at times on what he'll ultimately be from an efficiency standpoint and, you know, in like an ultimate winning environment, there's still like a load of talent in there. And on the right nights, he really intrigues a lot of people in the league. But there's also, we understand what his salary desires are. And the fact that his salary next season probably, if he has his way, is going to bump up from, you know, single digits, like the nine-ish millions up towards, you know, 30 beyond, like that makes him, you know, that makes the league kind of question whether that's worth it or not, right? Like there's a lot, somebody is going to have to take, you know, pretty heavy, you know, like pricey risk on him. And I think that's what everyone's trying to figure out. That's also why everyone in the league doesn't mind the fact that, hey, play him 30 minutes so we can get information on him.
Speaking of a guy who you said what's going right with the Golden State Warriors this season, I think another guy you can add in there is Trayce Jackson-Davis. Definitely as of late, you just look at his game log, 16 points, 16 points, 15, 11, 13. He's getting 16 boards, 10 boards. He's going up against guys, albeit it was a small sample size, but against a guy like an Anthony Davis, who he's played in the past and done pretty decently against. He's obviously had some success at times. You know, you think of the block he had on against Giannis Antetokounmpo. You just think of a guy like Trayce Jackson-Davis and what his role could be going forward with the Golden State Warriors, Anthony. First and foremost, A, is he like a big part of their plans going forward? And B, just what have you seen from him this season?
He's starting center. I'd say like a probably top 6 minutes guy at this point. He's re-leaped Kevon Looney at this current moment. I think he was lower physicality, lower energy early in the season and getting pushed around a little bit inside. I think we all saw that he wasn't running the floor with as much juice. That's changed since, you know, really a couple weeks ago. And he's been like, he didn't finish that well the other night against Cleveland's length. And that's a concern about him, right? He's 6'9". He's a little bit undersized when you go against the, you know, the giants of the league, the shot blockers. But generally lately, I think he's just, he's been better, more efficient, you know, on his finishing. And he's an intriguing player as like, you know, kind of your spot starter or, you know, high energy backup big, depending on like who your starter is. And it's fine, you know, like considering the price, they have him at like incredibly cheap, like minimum type price over the next three seasons of control. Like he's who you want. And honestly, he might be a guy that come trade deadline that a team might be like, hey, can you toss that, you know, contract in? Because I mean, he's a rotation big at a very reasonable number.
No, Anthony, I heard last week they gave you a hard time the day after Christmas.
I felt like we did, Anthony, as a Spadoni, and I just felt like we were crushing the NBA right when he got on comparing him to the NFL.
Think about these guys crushing the NBA.
Those numbers hit later that day, and they actually came out pretty well for the NBA.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the NFL games, but, I mean, you know.
But the NBA had the better day. The NBA produced the better games, Anthony.
They did. And, like, yeah, you know, if I don't think anybody was predicting that they were going to outrate the NFL games. Like, reality is reality. They're not. You know, nobody can deny what the NFL is as a Goliath, but I think the NBA is having a good season. I'm intrigued on a nightly basis. I was at that Sixers-Kings game last night you mentioned. It's like, it's good theater. Like, now we could discuss the intricacies of like the length of the schedule and some of the rules and this and that. Like, sure, there's ways to nitpick, but I think the sport's in a fine place, honestly. And, you know, the TV money they just signed would indicate there's still a lot of value there.
No doubt. They're getting a lot of money for these new deals with NBC and Amazon, of course. And I do think the games have been, like, Sacramento to Philly last night was a good game. Cleveland and the Lakers the other night was a good game. You know, Boston's playing well. Orlando's playing hard and playing well, and nobody cares because they're in Orlando, but they've got a good roster. I do think the NBA, the Thunder are 16-1 in their last 17. Minnesota's starting to figure it out. I mean, Dallas, you got that. Cleveland, I just mentioned it. Cleveland, they look, Anthony, that looks like a championship team. That really does, man.
I'm a little skeptical. I'm like they almost are going to have to like be holding the trophy up before I'm going to be like, yeah, you know what? Maybe they are a contender. But yeah, I mean, they look awesome. You know, one of the criticisms of the league is like, oh, well, the regular season doesn't matter. And like, I get that from like maybe the casual fan isn't tuning in, you know, tonight, for example, for Warriors Sixers. But if you're on the ground level covering this stuff, like we are, like, this is a big game for the Warriors tonight. Like, it feels like, a lot on the line. Right. I cover a Kings team that's so panicky. They just fired a coach they gave an extension to 6 months ago. Like, you don't think the December regular season games matter to them? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, everything feels, you know, enormous for these teams, even though it's an 82 games.
The Cleveland, I do think they need one more wing defender. That would scare me. Isaac Okoro's a good defender, but if he can't stay healthy, I need one more wing defender on that team with Kenny Atkinson. And is Mobley going to do that in a long playoff run? But I do like where Mitchell and Garland are at. There's no doubt about that. Spinotti, get in here.
Oh, just real quick, as you were covering the Kings, and you did a great job as well with Kings coverage, Anthony, with The Athletic. De'Aaron Fox, obviously, they made their bed. They picked De'Aaron, it felt like, over Mike Brown. Is that basically what it comes down to at the end of the day?
No.
No, is that not even close?
Nah, yeah, no, yeah. That was a smear campaign on De'Aaron Fox. He loved Mike Brown.
Him and Mike were fine. And, like, you know, Mike's not, like, believing De'Aaron, you know, pulled the trigger on that. That was an organization that, all the way up to the ownership, that just made a panic move. And, you know, maybe part of the panic move is them staring at De'Aaron Fox's uncertain future and, you know, just trying to figure anything out during this regular season. But that was not them picking Mike over De'Aaron, because if I'm being honest with you, I don't think they're going to have either, you know, in the long run.
Well, just real quick, just because I know, was it you and Amick that did the piece together in regards to, you know, Rich Paul going to the games a lot? Mm-hmm. Like, so am I reading too much into that?
No, you're not. I mean, he's like, you know, De'Aaron Fox is certainly peering into his future and wondering whether it should be in Sacramento or not. And I think it's that future is going to come into an uncertain focus. I could see there being rumblings. Deadline, my guess would be closer to the summer. He has that, you know, he has another year. He's under contract, but he's already turned down their extension offers. And the way they're looking, their record, and you know, how sustainable they look as a contender, which he wants to be in a winning environment on a consistent basis. And if he stares at his current situation, I think there's understandable skepticism that it's there. So you're not reading too much into that. There's a lot to be read into that. I would just say that may have led to the Mike Brown firing, but that wasn't because De'Aaron ordered it at all.
Got it.
DeRozan unhappy? Is that rumor true about DeRozan maybe being asked to come off the bench to give them some bench depth and maybe open up the game for the starters? What's going on with DeMar DeRozan? Because I did not like that signing for Sacramento. He's a good player. I just didn't like the fit.
Yeah, he just hasn't played that well. You know, he's older. What's this, like year 17, I think, for him?
Yep.
And, you know, he's smaller. They need better defense on the wing, and he just certainly doesn't provide that. You know, he'll have his nights. He's had some 20-point nights. But, I mean, yeah, I was kind of skeptical of the fit early on. A lot of people were, and it's played itself out that way. It just hasn't worked that well.
All right, Anthony. Good stuff as always. I'll see you later on tonight at Chase Center. Sixers in town after a brutal loss last night, but the Warriors get back on track, man. 8-8 at Chase Center this season, 16-16 overall. Who would have thunk it after a 12-3 start? Slate, you're the best, man.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Tony.
I'm Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line, discussing all things Golden State Warriors.